Thank you very much, Mr. Clore. I'm going to have to go through my notes really fast because I was thinking I had a split. Oh, I do? Oh, okay. Man. Hopefully Mr. Barnhurst wasn't planning on a sermon. But. Well, it's certainly wonderful to be here with you and enjoy a feast by the water. I need to get my clock out here and turn it on. If you're looking for a title, my title today is Inspired, Transformed, Strengthened, and Thankful. Nice short title. Inspired, Transformed, Strengthened, and Thankful. In Mark 4, verse 1, we can read where Christ was talking to a multitude. It says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land." I think that's interesting because here we are by the seaside, or actually at the Edgewater. And we're being fed God's word. This morning, what I want to emphasize are three different things that we can take away from this Feast of Tabernacles and that we should definitely apply in the days, weeks, and months ahead. The first is to be inspired by the vision we've heard of the soon coming kingdom of God, being children, being the bride of Christ, having eternal life. But we've certainly been given a vision. And even the song we just sang was about vision. And God has certainly given us a fantastic vision. The second point I want to cover is to be transformed by the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's certainly been poured out upon us here at this feast site. And third, to be strengthened by the Word of God, and by Jesus Christ, who was the Word, who's now living in each and every one of us. Plus, we have very much to be thankful for. In just a few days, we're going to be leaving this beautiful setting where we've been living in what I'd like to call a spirit-rich environment. Not target-rich, but spirit-rich. A spirit-rich environment with our spiritual brothers and sisters, feasting on God's word and having the vision of his coming kingdom vividly etched in our hearts and our minds. But we'll be going back to a world, back into the world. And we need to hold these words, these memories, near to our hearts. And we need to know that we're not alone. So I'd like to look at this first point, to be inspired by the vision. It's just been very apparent to me, I hope it has been to you, that we've certainly been given a vision at this feast. Some of these verses may have been used. I decided if someone else used them, there's probably a reason why we need to hear them twice. The first scripture is continuing in Mark 4, where I started out, Mark 4, verse 11. "And he said unto them," this is Christ speaking to us, "unto you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." The English Standard Version puts it this way. This is again Mark 4, verse 11. "And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything else is in parables." In Matthew 13, elaborating on this, it goes on. I like to just sort of drill down into this concept so we understand it. At first, it's a mystery. It's a secret. He said, "It's been given to us, but to those outside, it's in parables." What does that mean? In Matthew 13, verse 10, he explains this. The same, in each of these places, Christ adds, or the writers record just a little bit more information. "The disciples came and said to them, why do you speak to them in parables?" Verse 11, "And he answered and said unto them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given. This word know, genisko, means to understand, to perceive. This is the same Jewish idiom that means to know a woman in a sexual sense. And so from that perspective, we have been given a very special, intimate knowledge of God's way and of God's plan. We come to the feast and it's just poured out to us. This vision is made clear. It's been so inspiring. I've been inspired. I hope you've been inspired to hear these messages, these different aspects about why we're here, why we're keeping the feast. To hear that we're going to be the bride of Christ. How exciting. That we're part of a royal family. And that we're going to live forever. And that no matter what else is going on out there, it doesn't matter, because what goal we have, the vision we've been given, is so much greater. And we don't need to worry about the election or COVID or the tribulation, because we have the hope of the kingdom of God, and it's been painted so very vivid for us. We've been given very special knowledge because we've been living it. So we have an intimate knowledge and understanding of the kingdom, especially since we've been keeping God's commandments and keeping his Feast of Tabernacles. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. I have these written in front of me for sake of time, so I'm going to use what I call my no-huddle offense for this. I had to bring in at least one football analogy. I'm going to use my no-huddle offense sermon approach to get through all this and leave time for Mr. Barnhorst. Deuteronomy 4:6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. So we've been doing this, we've been keeping the feast. Many of us for many, many years. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. That's referring to us. We're that nation. We're that spiritual body. Going on in Matthew 13, verse 12, he's talking about this special knowledge, this mystery, this secret that we've been given. Matthew 13, verse 12, for whosoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whosoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In other words, they don't get it. They don't understand. But brethren, you do see. You do hear, and you do understand. All of you understand. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I think when I was a youngster, I think by age 14, I probably had a thorough understanding of God's plan from sitting in services as a child. My first feast was by the sea, Jekyll Island in 63. And understanding God's plan was so amazing. I remember having dreams about what it was going to be like to be a king in the kingdom of God. I didn't expect to be changed to a spirit being at Christ's return. I thought I was going to be one of those very fortunate, lucky few to be born at this time, to see all the end time events, and be too young to be a spirit being and live over and get to live physically in the kingdom of God under Christ. How exciting. We don't want to deny this. So if you're a young person, don't deny it. God's given you this opportunity to embrace. We don't want to reject this special vision, this special knowledge that's been imparted to us. Proverbs 29, verse 18, this aspect about vision would not be complete without going there. Matthew 29, verse 18, you're familiar with it. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. And hasn't it been a happy time to be at the feast, keeping God's commandments? New Living Translation puts it this way: when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. And it's been joyful to be at this feast. Those without God's Spirit do not have the vision. Either of the short-term events, the trouble that's ahead, or of the long-term hope we have of the coming kingdom. I'd like to turn to Micah, or cite Micah, something that's not cited as often, Micah chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Regarding this, Micah chapter 3, this time reading from the English Standard Version. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing in their mouths. Hirelings, basically. Give them some money, they'll say what you want to hear. Say everything is fine. Verse 6, therefore it shall be night to you without a vision. He's talking to the world. He's saying, this is what happens when you don't follow God. You'll be without vision and darkness to you, without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. They won't know what to say. But as for me, this is Micah, I am filled with power and with the Spirit of the Lord and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. We've been given a vision. What are we to do with this vision? We cannot stay at the feast all year. We have a job to do. A vision to share with all mankind. Mark 16, verse 15, going back to the King James. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 24, 14. Scripture we all know. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. It says, yes, we need to go out and preach this gospel. We need to be a witness of this way of life, this hope that we have within us, that God's given us these past days. You tie that in with Matthew 9, 38, where it says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So he tells us to go out and proclaim this gospel message to the world. And yet we don't know who he wants, but we have to proclaim it. It's like casting a line into the ocean. Some of you may have seen fishermen out there. We were down on the wharf the first day. Well, actually, it was Friday before the feast started. Went out on the wharf to watch the sunrise. It was really nice. Surprisingly, there were people out there fishing. There was this lady fishing, and all of a sudden, her line started bending, and she was all excited. Is that me? Is that me? She's reeling this. Someone down the way, you know, was helping her get the fish up, and it was a fish about this big. And she was so excited. That's what we're doing. We're casting our line out there, seeing who God brings to it. He's the one that we ask to send laborers into the harvest. He's the one who calls. But we have a part to do. We have to throw the line out there. I remember sitting on the banks of the Yellowstone River with my two sons. We were canoeing the Yellowstone, the longest untamed river in the lower 48. And we're sitting there along the bank, and there was these drift fishermen. You know, they were in They were drifting by, fishing with their fly fishing rods, probably paying exorbitant amounts of money, you know, for that experience. And we were watching them go by, and they said, have you caught anything? He said, no. Then the guy said, have you been fishing? No. The thing about fishing is you got to throw a line in the water, right? You can't make disciples without talking about it a little bit. We're to make disciples. We have to cast a line in. We got to put the net in. So in the months ahead, we need to be asking God, crying out and beseeching him to help us collectively as a church, but also individually, to reach those he is calling to understand the same vision that he's opened our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to understand. A vision he's made vivid and clear at this feast. As I'm sure as you, as I, when we see all these people, I have a hard time thinking about the tribulation coming to these people, our brothers and sisters in this nation. We need to ask God to call more people to this understanding. My second point is to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 11, the same verse where it talks about the lion and the lamb, as we have this little replication up here, I'd like to pick up verse 2 there, because it starts out with this. It says, Isaiah 11, verse 2, King James, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Brethren, that Spirit is in us now. We prayed for it. Every day we ask God to inspire the messages, to be here, to bless us with his presence. And God has answered in abundance. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, verse 7, it talks about this Spirit that we've been given. Paul writing to Timothy, verse 6, 1 Timothy 1, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. That's what we need to do. We need to stir it up, reignite it. And that's what this feast has hopefully done. It's stirred up the Spirit. It's ignited the fire within us to go out and do the work of God and to activate and use the power of his Holy Spirit. For God, verse 7, has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind in a world that seems to be going crazy. God's given us the soundness of mind. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We've heard about being the bride of Christ, about being a royal priesthood, having this special training to live this way. Verse 2, Romans 12, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So what do we do with this power? For one thing, we're already using it. You've changed your life. It's transformed you that you've come to the feast of God. To many, that might seem like a weird thing. But you have done that. You've made that change. Some of you for many, many years. You are changed. God's Spirit is transforming you. And we've been given messages here at this feast that will transform us even more if we allow it to. We've been convicted by the Word of God. We need to exercise that Spirit that God has blessed us with, that earnest of what we're going to receive in the future. I'm sure he's given us enough. I look at my clock to see if I have time for a digression. Who was it? Was it Mr. Beam that said sometimes you stick to your notes, sometimes you don't? Okay, this is one of those times I'm going off cue. Okay. I'm sure that God gives us enough of his Holy Spirit. When Christ said to his disciples in John, he says, the Spirit is now with you and then it will be in you. I'm sure that God gives a young person or someone that he's calling, he gives them enough of his Spirit that it can bring them to the point of repentance. And then they're going to hit like this glass ceiling. That the next step is conversion. It's actually baptism. And at that point, then God gives you more of his Spirit. But God is going to give us enough of his Spirit to do whatever it is that he wants us to do. To proclaim the gospel, to be an example. So at whatever stage we're at, God can give us enough of that Spirit, and we just need to exercise it, brethren. We need to put it into effect, and we need to transform our lives. Maybe we've begun making those changes. Maybe we began making those changes at baptism years ago, but we need to get on track and keep changing more and more and more because the time is short. And who knows what's going to happen in the next 12 months between now and the next feast. We need to go to God and ask him to just strengthen us with his Spirit and to exercise it and to use that power that he's given us in ways that we maybe didn't think possible. What are we to do with that power? We're to grow and become like God, manifesting the fruit of his Spirit. How else does he want us to use it? It's interesting. I read Micah 3, but verse 8 says this. He says, but truly, this is Micah 3, going back to Micah 3, verse 8. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. So we need to give a warning to people of what's coming. To be a watchman. Both short term of what's coming in a negative sense, but also the vision that we've been given of the long term hope for mankind. We need to exercise God's Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 is a verse I had, but then in looking at it, there's some verses around it that are also very powerful. Verse 17, it says, and when the 70 returned again with joy, so this is after he'd sent them out, and they came back, and they were excited because God was blessing what they were doing. They were going out and doing what Christ told them to do. They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. We're called to be part of God's family and to have that new name. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. So here we see that Christ is thankful for the work that his disciples were doing and how he was rejoiced. We can make our husband-to-be rejoice in us doing the work, exercising his spirit. And as Luke recorded, we don't need to be fearful or anxious. No matter what the future holds in the coming year, he will be with us. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be imbued with power from on high. In Acts 1, verse 8, we see about that power. It says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I've heard so many little towns mentioned to me that I can't remember them all, but I think that that's talking about the uttermost parts of the earth. And maybe some of you have heard of Helena. What about Gibsonburg? That's where I came from. People have been telling me these little towns. We have little towns in Ohio, little places in Kentucky and Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, Oregon. That's where you're from. You're from the uttermost parts of the earth. And you've come together to keep the feast of tabernacles. And now you're going to go back out to be the salt of the earth and to be a witness of what's coming. Because we've experienced it. We've witnessed it here. We've witnessed God's power and his spirit. The third point, to be strengthened by the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, we know about the word of God. Ephesians 6, 17 talks about, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, we're familiar with. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We know that. But these next verses remind me of what's happened during the feast, where we've been strengthened by God's words through his ministry. In Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, verse 18. Then it says, and one having the appearance of the man touched me, and strengthened me. This is the point I want to make, is that we've been strengthened by the word of God at this feast. And he said to me, this is Daniel 10, verse 19, O man greatly loved. See, God loves each and every one of us. He loves you. O man greatly loved. So we're loved by God. He sent his son to die for us, and he wants us very much to be in his family. He says, fear not. Fear not. Remember, we've been given God's Holy Spirit. It produces good fruit. It eliminates fear, and it produces peace. He says, peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. Remember that was read to us from Joshua earlier in the feast, be strong, of good courage. As he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And that's what's happened with us, brethren. We've been strengthened here at this Feast of Tabernacles by the ministry bringing us God's word to strengthen us and to build us up and to edify us. First Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 1, reading through verse 4. English Standard Version. 1 Corinthians 10:1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers who were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food. We've been strengthened, brethren, by eating the spiritual food of the messages that have been brought to us. And the Bible study, the Bible studies. It's made us stronger. Verse 4, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from that spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. John 1, verse 14. Stringing this together, I want us to see that the Word strengthens us, but in John 1, 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as the glory of the only Son of God, full of grace and truth. And now we have Christ living in us. We have that truth. We have that strength in us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man, this is 2 Corinthians 5, 17. There, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That was in the hymn that we sang this morning that Mr. Clore read, was saying. He led us in it. We had a song about vision. We had a song about Christ being in us. Christ, the Word, strengthens us, and so we're strengthened by his Word. So what do we do with the strength we receive from God's Word and Christ in us? We can now live a life with boldness and confidence in spite of whatever challenges are ahead of us, knowing that with the help of God and Jesus Christ in us, we are strengthened and can do all things. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So no matter what is thrown at us in the year ahead, we have that strength. In Montana, people know that I like to throw in bonus things. So I'm going to throw in a bonus point. This is bonus point 4. And I have 2 minutes and 57 seconds. Let's go home thankful for all the messages we've heard, the blessings we've had at this feast. Psalm 107, verse 21. Let them praise the Lord with great love for his wonderful things he has done for him. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises a stormy wind that lifts up the waves of the sea. And haven't we seen that out there? The waves just crashing in. The power of God, God's power, is we're witnesses of it. Verse 28, they cried out. This is talking about people on the sea that are in this storm. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. May God guide us all to our desired haven, our port in the storm. May God guide us all home safely. He goes on, verse 31 of Psalm 107. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly, let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. I'd like to conclude with Colossians 1, 26 through 28. Even the mystery, this is Colossians 1, 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest unto the saints. That is you. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So as we leave for the feast and head back into the world, sharing God's message and being examples of his way, let us be inspired by the vision of the kingdom of God and our calling to be the bride, to be the part of a royal family. Time's up. I'm going to quit quick, I promise. Okay, let's get back to it. Let us be inspired by the vision of the kingdom of God and our calling to be his bride, to be part of the royal family, and to have eternal life. Let us be transformed by the power of God's Holy Spirit, making the changes that we need to become more like God the Father and Jesus Christ and to do their work. And let us be strengthened by the Word of God and Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ in us, and the wonderful messages based on God's Word that have been given to us at the feast. And fourth, let us be always thankful to God that he has called us to be a part of his work at this time and a part of his family for all eternity.